Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, here Peter and the Holy Spirit have a word for you men. Ladies, you might just want to listen in. I have a sneaky suspicion that you men were more than a little interested in what Peter had to say to wives in verses 1 through 6, which we looked at some weeks ago, before COVID struck our home. Similarly, I suspect that there will be something here for you, dear women, to take home with you tonight. By the way, did you notice that the text last time needed 6 verses to lay out the obligations of the wife? But tonight, our text contains only 1 verse for the husband's obligations. But don't be too hasty in concluding that the wife has 6 times the responsibility resting upon her husband. That's not the way to read the Bible. But if you do want to go that way, perhaps you should be 6 times more appreciative of what your wife means to you, husbands, than you have been heretofore. The point is, of course, that both the husband and the wife have unique and special responsibilities, definite and unconfused roles to play, the recognizing of which and the filling properly of which will certainly bring wholeness, blessing, and real joy into any marriage, no matter how many verses it takes to lay the thing out before us. Last time we saw that Peter has this word for wives, remember? For wives and for unmarried women who, let them be prepared, may become wives. Fill the bill God presents you as a helper just right for your husband and be in submission to him, which attitude and action will constitute your true beauty, ladies. Now, Peter says to the husbands tonight, and again to every man, lest he should find himself someday to be a husband, without having otherwise thought about these things. Here it is. Be considerate. Be considerate. You know what that word means? That's not hard. The hard part is being considerate and doing consideration. Husband, men, you are the provider not only of things material, but also of things emotional and spiritual. When it comes to your responsibility toward your wife, under God, you need to understand her, show patience with her, give her reassurances of your love. You, husband, are the setter of the tone in your marriage and family relationship. If your wife has faults, nagging, being irritable, impatient, look in the mirror. How much of this is your fault? Taking her for granted, not showing her your love enough, or even at all. Since she is under your authority, according to verses 1 through 6 of 1 Peter chapter 3, she will in time simply reflect your faults as well as your virtues. It's bound to happen. So live with your wives in an understanding way, as the text commands, literally. That means, think about it. Be considerate. You had better know what a wife is, husband, and what a husband is, so that you have the foundation you need to live with that woman with whom you became one flesh. Try it without that understanding. Can you afford to separate this complex, precious, and life-dominating relationship called marriage without reading the instructions? Try using your new microwave with its umpteen push buttons by pure guesswork. And I'd hate to have to eat your eggplant parmesan. Jean and I are still trying to understand how to use a cell phone. Perhaps reading the instructions might help. Try being a husband, men, on your own, using your own common sense or whatever, even marriage manuals written by experts, without coming to grips with the simple, straightforward command of 1 Peter 3:7. And you are, let me tell you, inviting sorrow and failure. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Know what you're doing. According to God's knowledge of what He intends a marriage to be, then and only then may you hope for good success and deep joy therein, men of God. Show your love, your appreciation, your consideration. Instead of spoiling her, you will actually make her a better wife. And everybody will be happier, glorifying God and enjoying Him as His creatures. Do what He says and not run into the dead ends and fall into the ditches that lurk ahead of folks who ignore the operating instructions supplied by the manufacturer. Promote spiritual priorities. When you and your wife are believers, then you are heirs together of the grace of eternal life, God's free gift in Christ, through whose death and resurrection He makes you too, with others, children of God, through faith in Him. Make Christ, therefore, the head of your home. Be God's appointed prophet, priest, and king in your home. Lead in worship and enrich your own devotional private life. Remember, Peter concludes this verse saying that you and your wife are laborers together in God's kingdom. Hence the need for constant communion with Him in prayer for necessary strength and wisdom. Don't let the devil disturb this open lifeline with misunderstandings and quarrels. Keep the Lord first and foremost in your home. For where He is, there will be victory over evil. There will be joy, peace, love, and harmony. So what we're saying that 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says is this. The godly husband is a loving leader of his wife, by himself being submissive to God's will for the well-being of his marriage. That's all this sermon is about. But we'll break it down into three things. First, the godly husband is a leader. Living with your wives in an understanding way implies authority structure, folks. Unity in any relationship demands the sorting out of respective responsibilities. Some are over and some are under. Oneness in marriage means each spouse knowing his and her ordained role. And if submission is sometimes hard, ladies, how about leadership, men? According to Ephesians 5, 25 through 33, a passage that spells out the thrust of our text tonight, and we can't, of course, look into that as well. But it tells us that the wife exemplifies the church, sinful as it still is, and the husband exemplifies Christ, perfect as he always is. The husband's role and task is plainly too much. It's too much. It cannot be fulfilled apart from the Spirit of God's enabling the believer to approximate Christ's loving leadership of the church. And just what is it to be that leader? The key to answering the question is to note Peter's second use of that special word beginning both verses 1 and 7. Of this third chapter of his letter. You see that word? Likewise. Likewise. In the same way. What way? Submissively. But you say, I thought that was the big word for the wife. And that the husband didn't have to concern himself with that kind of thing. Submissively. What's the matter with you, Pastor Tyson? Are you falling for all this new hermeneutic that flattens the roles in marriage? No, I'm not. I'm just listening to Peter. I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit. At least I'm trying to listen to them. And they do say to husbands, likewise. There is an element of submission here for you men, too. In fact, it's all submission. Not submission to your wife in the sense that she usurps or is invited by your permission to take the role God lays upon you. No, the divinely established structure remains intact. Well then, where is the notion of submission for the husband? Why is it that even the Apostle Paul, who is unjustly accused of being a woman hater by people who don't take the time to read carefully what he writes, says in one place, all of you be in submission to one another. All of you. It's because Paul and Peter both really understand the instruction manual for human beings. And they know what it means for a husband to be in the position of leader, to have a God-given authority in the marriage relationship. And where did they learn that, Paul and Peter? They learned it by listening to the Word of God incarnate, Jesus Christ himself, and what he said. Yes, the Savior taught what it means to be a leader, to have authority, to exercise rule, as we read it earlier in Matthew 20, 20 to 28, summarized by these words, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus not only said what leadership means, he showed it. He did it. He is the Prince of the Kings of the earth, God Almighty, the Creator and Redeemer of mankind. If anybody is a leader, it's Jesus. But when you read John 13, what do you find that leader doing? He's washing the disciples' feet. Husbands, you are to be the family's preeminent foot washer. Copying Jesus, you begin to fulfill the word. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How did he do that? Well, in 3 years, do you notice the continuous association he had with his church, the disciples? Jesus spent generous time with his disciples. You are to show that as you live with your wives. That doesn't mean you can't go on a business trip. But Peter says, pay attention to your schedule. Also instruction. Elsewhere, scripture enjoins wives. If they want to know anything, ask your own husband at home. It's in the Bible. He is to be your preeminent teacher. To be an example too. Husband, you lead your wife when you confess your failures to her, your sins against her, and you make changes in your behavior. And finally, in making decisions and delegating responsibilities in the family and in the marriage. To do this implies that marriage is not a 50-50 deal. You get half of the choices and I get half. It's 100% deal. Finally, we need to point out a few other things about headship, about the husband as a leader, as one who enjoys not merely a privilege and a right to make final decisions. It means first, according to 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 13, to manage your household well. That's given as a necessary qualification if you want to be an officer in the church. In other words, if you want to be an officer in the church, you jolly well better be an officer in your home. A good husband who manages his household well. Secondly, a good husband, as any good manager, recognizes and uses his wife's abilities to the fullest. As scripture points out, whoever finds a wife finds a good thing. She is your helper. So you let her help. And it doesn't threaten you at all. You lead your family all the more through your wife's help. Thirdly, the godly husband leads his wife spiritually. Do I need to stress or point out this? Because sometimes it is the wife who seems to be the pusher spiritually. Now don't blame her if that happens. Blame rather yourself who might have invited that by default. And fourthly and lastly, how far does the concept of headship take? Well, this far, for the answer, take another look at Jesus Christ, the one for whom you live. He gave his life for his body, the church. Husband, although your wife is to live for you, you are to give your life for her. There's no boundary. Subscribing marital love. It is to go all the way. That's the godly husband as a leader. Now, secondly, note the godly husband is a lover. Yeah, he's a lover. Now, this isn't something new and different from what we've been saying so far. Any leadership that is not loving leadership is not leadership at all. At least it's not the right kind. Therefore, it is counterfeit. And if exercised, it brings trouble. That's what Peter is getting at with his showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. She is under authority. That's her weakness. Not that she's missing something, or not so strong enough, or not physically or spiritually or emotionally weak. It's that she's under your leadership. And don't expect your wife to act like a husband. That's not what she is. Treat her as a woman. That's what she is. Thus you will see things from her point of view as much as you can. Get into her shoes and imagine what it's like to have to listen and follow another. Colossians 3, 18 and 19 help us here. There we read, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Bitterness in marriages grows out of misunderstood roles, false expectations, resentment because of perceived failures. It comes when a husband thinks more of what his wife isn't doing than what she should be doing, or doing what she shouldn't be doing. He thinks more about that than he does about his own responsibility to lead her lovingly. What if Jesus had waited for us to be good people before he went to Calvary? Huh? We were his enemies, but he wasn't embittered toward us or against us. He loved us anyway, and he proved it. He looked more on our need than he did on his right. That's loving leadership. And that's what you husbands need to show in your relationship to your wives. You must initiate the love as Christ did. Now here I'm going to say something that you're going to really wonder about. Did you notice that nowhere in Scripture, as far as I can find, correct me afterwards if I'm wrong, is the wife specifically commanded to love her husband? In just those very words. Not there. Of course, when she fills her role properly, that jolly well sure is love. And a wife certainly can and should and does say, I hope, "I love you." Please don't misunderstand me. The Bible seems, you see, to reserve a use of the word love when it comes to the marriage for the husband, particularly. It is his tender control, his strong, totally giving leadership, yes, his consideration and respect for that precious person that God has given him. That's his love. And realize this, that love is to be offered and exercised whether the husband particularly feels like it or not. If you want to know how Christ Jesus felt about going to the cross, just watch him in Gethsemane. "Not my will, but yours be done." Remember, loving your wife is a command. Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. Your love for your wife is identically identified and defined. It is as you give yourself for her, whether you feel like it or not. Not to her, for her. Now maybe you men are saying at this point, "Oh, my lack. I know that I do. Perhaps I will hear about this sermon sometime from a certain member. But that's just the point. That's our text. It's a command. What we men need to do is not spend time wringing our hands because of our failure, but paying attention to how we can be in obedience to God. In these ways, to mention just a few briefly, Satisfy her varying needs. Give her time for herself as well as time for you. You get the whole woman, guys. Now you let her be that whole woman. Protect her. Watch public remarks by others. And by you, by mistake. Assist her to do her job. Ask what tools she needs to cope with a screaming kid. Or even a thoughtless relative. Sacrifice for her. Not just when it bothers, but beyond, far beyond. Put her in first place after God. She is most precious. Be as considerate as you are with others, but even so, even more with her. Thirdly, finally, and briefly, both leading and loving are necessary. They go together. She is an heir with you of the grace of life, men. You and your wife are both totally equal in God's eyes. Salvation is your common gracious heritage and inheritance. Thus you won't deny or forget that the God who saves you both has decreed a certain relationship to be firmly in place between the two of you for as long as you are on this earth. Like it says when you get married, as long as you both shall live. Husband, you are the leader. Wife, you are the helper. It's God's will. But it's not all of God's will. He also says to the husband, make your leadership a loving leadership. Otherwise, it will be something far different from what I had in mind for you. It will be something monstrous and ugly, having as its issue the bitter fruit of rebellion and tyranny. Husband, be a loving leader because both you and your wife together are equal before God. He loves you both equally. And he tells you how to do this thing called marriage. So if you want to please him, not to mention having a happy marriage, you will obey him. Peter adds, do this so that your prayers may not be hindered. He means, you can't be a godly man having your own private relationship with God, going about your own individual religious exercises, when you are married without paying attention to these instructions. The lack of loving leadership on your part, husband, will be a positive detriment to your own spiritual life. It will hinder your prayers. Will you continue to ask God to love you and care for you when you are unwilling to love and care for your wife? You know the answer. You will stop praying that prayer. And many a husband has drifted away from the Lord only after and because he has drifted away from his wife. Drifted not because of some inexorable force that has driven him away from her. I don't love you anymore. I'm not in love with you anymore. But drifted because of laziness, frustration, and just plain old-fashioned carelessness. Men, husbands, listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't let that happen to you. Here as elsewhere, true godliness is shown not so much in inner exercise of mystical devotion to the deity, but in outward obedience to plain and straightforward commands from God having to do with everyday life in your home. commands such as this one. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Amen. God, our Father in heaven, we men and women too, pray that we will hear this word of God, that men especially will be challenged and brought to recognition of their failure to obey by these commands, this command from you, Heavenly Father, and wives, that they will understand what a thing it is for, how hard it is for their husbands to do this. And they are to help him by praying for him and walking beside him and with him and under him in a God-honoring way. Bring this to pass in our marriages now and those that are yet to take place in this congregation. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.